Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by our dear friends at Asset Strategies in Avon, assetstrats.com, here is Emmy Award-winning Jill Schlesinger. You won an Emmy, didn't you? You won an Emmy.
Yeah, but I mean, it was really not like I was nominated for something specifically, but me. But I was part of the team that won an Emmy for CBS This Morning.
Just
so I don't want to take too much solo credit.
Me too. You know, I remember this, Jill, and you've been playing this game for quite a while. And I know to you it's a mission from God. I get that. But I mean, the whole thing is, you know, I just remember like in the 80s, like, for example, here you go, back in the 80s. But, you know, it was like every campaign, it was deficit, 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 national debt, national debt, national debt. And here it is, adding another $1 trillion in deficits, which will go into the national debt, I would guess, or add up against it. And nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, actually. We used to be hearing about this from people who called themselves deficit hawks.
Yes.
And that really meant that they were concerned about the deficit and they would raise awareness that we've got this big, huge amount of national debt that's floating out there. And as a result, we're going to have to worry. Right now, I guess the national debt is somewhere around $22 trillion
or
so. Okay, so here's the deal. The deficit, meaning the amount of money that the government takes in, minus the amount of money the government spends, the deficit widened to just under $1 trillion in 2019. The fiscal year just ended at the end of September for the government. Now, that $1 trillion number, it's a big number.
Yeah.
But we have been here before. I don't want to go
yes,
nutty.
Yes, we have.
So in 2009, during the financial crisis, and then the recession that followed, we carried big deficits of $1 trillion or more for four consecutive years. And why is that? Pretty easy to understand. If you look at the first part of the equation, amount of money the government takes in, it was reduced because there weren't as many people working and companies weren't making much money.
Right.
And so that number was low. And then the amount of money the government spends, if you just look at the regular spending, which is, you know, the normal stuff, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, defense, on top of that, the government spent even more money to try to get us out of the recession. So that's why we carried those trillion-dollar deficits.
So part of that was the stimulus, for example.
Exactly. Now, come to today, why do we have a trillion-dollar deficit if the country is growing and more people are working?
Yep.
And the government is what? What are we spending a lot of money on stuff or not? Okay, so here's what happened.
What?
The amount of money that was paid into the system is lower because of that tax cut.
Okay.
So it was projected to be lower. It's just lower than even projected.
Okay.
We didn't get enough growth to make up for that loss of tax revenue. And the government also did spend, not just on entitlements, on other stuff. So you put it together and we've got a $1 trillion deficit, but it's happening during the good times. And economists who, you know, normally are kind of chill about this because a lot of people don't think deficits are that important when you have a recession are pointing out, yeah, but we've got a deficit that's growing pretty big and quickly at a time when the country's doing well. What happens when it doesn't do well?
It's not good.
Well, I mean, what I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's okay. Because here's the other side of it is that some people would say, look, look at these numbers. It sounds scary. It's awful. What's the downside? Downside is that the government at some point can't make the interest payments on the national debt.
Well, and take a look at this. When you look at the federal budget, it's, you know, a large percent, not a large overwhelming, but a large percentage does go to debt service.
Yeah, but a larger percent goes to just bills that you have to pay, those entitlement programs.
I agree.
So in the past, people would – deficit hawks would – like, remember Paul Ryan?
Oh, God, yes.
He was a big-time deficit hawk.
John Kasich was, too.
Yeah, and there were all these guys and gals in Congress who would talk about – no one's talking about it. And the way that they, the deficit hawks, would frame it is, you see, this shows you we have to just decimate the whole entitlement system and pay less.
No.
Not really what Americans want. Americans actually rely more and more on those programs. Yeah. So the question is, at some point in the future, will this debt start to really hurt the U.S. government? Will it print more money? Will it default on some part of the debt? And maybe it will, but not yet. And so far, nothing horrible has happened. You can go to sleep, relax, that not that the debt's not going to explode. It's just an interesting thing to consider, that when you are sold on the idea that tax cuts – so again, one more time.
Yes.
The tax cuts were sold as a way to promote growth.
Yes.
And so even if tax rates went down, the idea was growth would be strong enough that more people would work, more companies make money.
Laffer curve.
Right? Money would come into the system. Don't worry. Now, the idea here is that didn't happen. So next time someone sells you a tax cut and says it's going to spur growth, you say, remember when Ray was talking to Jill?
Hey, you know, but the other way, and I think you just mentioned this in passing a moment ago, is, you know, inflation's a great way to minimize the national debt.
Yes, you can devalue your currency. You can basically say, I'll print more money, and then I've got plenty of money to deal with the debt.
Right.
And the only problem is that then we have sky-high inflation, sky-high interest rates, growth slows down.
There's no way out of this, Jill. There's no way out of this.
No, there's not a great way to get out of it, I'll be honest with you.
There's really the first one. You're right, though. Those were the golden days. I remember watching – what a boring guy. Special orders, you know, they do it after the session is closed in the House. And you had John Kasich up there. You had Paul Ryan. I think Newt Gingrich was involved. And they're all talking about the deficit. This is those good old days of the 80s. But, you know, it's been kind of in the back. I remember the trade deficit. That was a huge thing.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about the trade deficit.
Oh, I'm not either.
Look, I think the real debt problem that occurs is really how do policymakers respond to it. In other words, if you're freaked out about it and then you all of a sudden you use the debt or the deficit as an excuse to cut entitlement programs that like parts of this country really need,
ain't good.
Right? About 3/4 of retirees are actually relying on Social Security for their main source of income.
Yeah.
You can't just slash that away. So it becomes a political problem, which I'm so sure that both sides are ready to tackle.
By the way, Jill makes a very good point here, and you do it often on your show, which you hear Saturday afternoons from 4 until 6, is, you know, if you are relying on Social Security alone, you better think twice. You may need a little extra cash around there, and you will tell people how to do this.
Yeah, I will. I promise. And if you have a question about the Social Security system, I love having those questions. People who say to me, I'm going to claim early because the system's going bust. If you have a question like that, send me an email. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. I don't think it's going to be quite as bad as that. But
all right. Well,
we do like people to take matters into their own hands.
You should be. You know, but I mean, there's so many people, as you just pointed out, that's retirement for me. And so, that's tough.
Yeah.
All right, Jill. Well, listen, you can get Jill anytime. You know, that week is a long time. You'll hear her on our news, but you can also get her at jillonmoney.com. Thanks, Jill.
Take care.
Talk to you next week. Brought to you by Asset Strategies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.